decrepit one this morning.
Well, it is morning.
It is morning, so we're...
Good morning to all.
Good morning. I was like, it's like our little, like, you know, Snow White in the morning and she's feeding the birds.
Ooh. Exactly. So Kristen and I are having the most lovely morning with our little coffee and our little Create mugs.
They say create on them.
We had a little Parisian breakfast this morning, mm-hmm. and we're just living all our dreams. We wanted to share it with you.
Do you know in the last podcast, if you listen to Your Heart's Path, Natalie talked about, hey, remember when we're in Paris and we eat dessert first in the morning? We go straight in for the pastries first thing in the morning. Well, this morning I was getting coffee for Natalie and I. And the girl who was helping me with my coffee order, and I got into a conversation about the croissants. So it seemed like that was life asking for itself. Mm-hmm. And I showed up at Natalie's doorstep, not only with two cappuccinos, but also two croissants.
And so we just put everything on beautiful plates, mm-hmm. and we decided to do a podcast and share our a coffee date with you.
I know. And here we are.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi, beauty.
We haven't seen each other in a little while because Kristen's been in sunny Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here.
I missed you when I went to William & Bee, mm. and when I went to SoulCycle.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the same. I had a great time, but still. I was like, where is she?
Yeah. I know. I felt the same way when I was here going to Flywheel, aww. Going to Lucas's yoga class.
Lucas.
We all missed you. So,
here we are. So, I was kind of joking when I showed up at Natalie's door and I was like, I think the podcast topic this morning is Parisian mornings.
And then we decided, of course it is.
Of course it is. So, we'll see what Parisian mornings brings to us and how that unlocks the topic.
Well, I think one thing that I always remember is, I think it was like a year and a half ago maybe. And you and I had gone to Paris with Jen, who's mm-hmm. The owner of the Actors Green Room where we work,
mm-hmm.
and one of our dearest friends. And we had taken her to Paris, and this is when we were first really getting to know her, right?
Uh-huh.
And we would get up in the morning, and we had a very specific routine. And we would like to, you know, get all gussied up. And then we would like to go and find an adorable coffee shop and have all the pastries and cappuccinos and do our best to speak in cute little French accents.
Oh, my French is so terrible. It doesn't stop me from trying.
And we would bring our spiritual books and our journals. And we would always have these morning times where we would each be reading different books and having different experiences of our morning practice. And we'd get something really juicy and we would share it with each other and then order another cappuccino and order another pastry and then go back into our journals.
Into our Osho.
Right. And so this could go on for like 2 or 3 hours. Uh-huh. And it's really just our favorite thing to do when we travel. So I remember one particular day we were sitting. I was wearing like the most adorable little hat and skirt, and you had all the yogurt and all the pastries sitting in front of you. Like, it was like a beautiful picture at the base of the Sacré-Cœur. And we were just doing this, what we normally do, having our little picnic and reading our books. And I remember we were reading a passage from Osho. And all of a sudden, it's like we were so engaged with each other. And we looked over, and Jen had this look on her face, and she went, oh, this is real. You guys really do this. She said, being on vacation with you guys is like being on Oprah's Super Soul Sunday every day, uh-huh. on repeat. And we were so flattered.
We're like, that's what we like to do. We just want to talk about spirituality all the time.
And it was so cute how initially, you know, she would kind of like sit on her phone or whatever and be like, these crazy girls. But really, like, by the end of our time, she was like so engaged in the conversation and it just became like such a fun thing. It just made me think that, like, when you approach anything, whether it's spirituality or pain that you're going through, or a relationship or a probable future, if you approach any of it with just the ease of letting it unfold and letting it touch you in the moment. Like, oh, this is what this feels like, and maybe it feels good to me, and maybe it doesn't, and I'm just going to engage from where I feel, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's no expectation if you don't feel like engaging to engage, But then if you start to feel called to engage, then you do. And just really being in touch with yourself and your own flow almost like puts you into the flow of the universe in a really profound way.
Yeah, that's the truth. And as you started to say that, I felt something inside of me open, like a flower opening inside. Like when you hear the truth, you go, oh yeah, that's real. That's real. When I let go of needing to control how something goes and am right where I am and allow one moment to unfold into the next. And I thought about being a director. That's when I know that I'm in my greatest point of power, is when I've so let go of the outcome that I can just watch the moment unfold. Mm-hmm. And then being so present with the moment shows me where to go next. So I'm just in this beautiful giving and receiving with the moment. And I start to think about like a Meisner technique. You know, when you're, you know, like you're so being present, like two actors are so being present and they're really listening and reacting. And like, you see when actors are so good at that, something incredible happens because they're both so dialed in. And there's a way of being with life like that.
Mm. Oh, life is your scene partner.
Life is your scene partner. Oh, you're usually very good with the topics. But you're just so listening to what is happening. So instead of trying to force your own agenda on it, you've become like you're dancing with life. And you're like, what are you going to do? Then from that moment, I'll see what I do.
Oh, I love that. It's actually really interesting because... you know, yoga has a lot of models. The philosophy of yoga has a lot of models of how we look at our anatomy or our energetic anatomy or how we are made or kind of what we are as beings. And you and I talk all the time about, you know, the spirit and the form, that these kind of two sections of ourselves. But what's interesting is the koshas is an energetic model that breaks it down even further to say we have our physical body, our physiological body, our mental body, our emotional body, our values and preferences. And all of those things are actually part of the form, which is interesting because we so often will identify, well, I am my emotions, or I am my opinion, I am my value, I am my preference. But actually none of that is us. What we are is this open, receptive space that doesn't need to judge or think anything about anything. It's just like a baby who's experiencing the world for the first time. It's like when you hear a baby say the word out of their own mouth, like red or green for the first time, they don't have a judgment of liking red or green better. They're just experiencing what that word sounds like and what that feels like and what that color excites and ignites in them. And I think that sometimes we along the way will get really stuck in our routines, our schedules, who we want to be around, because we're so stuck in our values and preferences, and we identify that as who we are. And even when we're approaching like a character, it's like, what are these characters' opinions and values and preferences? But that's not really who the character is either. The character is an essence, and within that essence and that spirit and that curiosity about what that is, we can actually go deeper than what we think we like and what we think we know.
Ooh, that's beautiful. It's so funny that you would bring this up, because I feel like when we were in Paris a year and a half ago, this was exactly what I was studying.
Oh, wow.
Because we were reading so much Osho. And the book I was reading was very much about what happens if you witness your judgments and then be willing to question them.
Ah.
So I felt like everything I was doing, I was like, oh, look, there's a judgment. Okay, what happens if I, like, suspend it? Like, don't actually believe that that's the truth. Like, so I could question another reality as being true at the same time.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean?
I
so
do.
Just to be curious about what was actually true for me and what was my conditioning. So that, like, you and I were talking earlier this morning, how much of how I react to the world is there because of how I was brought up or values that I was that were given to me? And what would happen if I could start witnessing when a judgment or a preference came up, and then instead of immediately acting on that, hold in the space in between? and just see what else could be possible. Or flip my judgment or preference.
Ah.
Right? So I see something up and I want to call it bad or wrong or this or that. And then what would happen if I flipped it?
Wow.
Just to see what liberation might be possible there.
Wow. Yeah, I love that because, you know, really our preferences are so unreliable.
Ugh.
Like, how many of us think, I like this kind of person?
Yes.
Like, I'm attracted to someone who looks like this,
yes.
Right? And it's so fascinating because Osho says, if you spend enough time with anyone, you'll fall in love with them.
Yes. This makes me think of Paris. That exact trip. This is so funny. I can't believe I'm telling this story. Do you remember that night we met those guys, those English guys? And I was flirting with this one that was like kind of my type.
Yes.
He was like more the alpha. He was really good looking. He was super, super charismatic. And he was on my right. And then to my left was this super intellectual.
Yes.
I don't remember the alpha one's name, but the he was like, but the one to my left was Miles. And Miles was like really smart.
Yes.
And really articulate.
Yes.
And really interesting. And I remember you saying, like, you and I went to the bathroom and you said, don't go for the alpha. Go for Miles. You're like, Miles is where the money, like, Miles is the good one. Like, he's the
yes.
one. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
And you're like, Kristen,
uh-huh.
I am not messing around. And I remember going, okay, well, for an experiment, I'll, like, spend more attention on what is not my natural preference.
Yes.
And I remember telling you, I was like, well, that was the right choice.
Yeah.
That was the right choice. And it's a very spiritual lesson here when it comes to making out with boys in Paris. welcome to our spiritual podcast.
Right.
But it was this marvelous lesson in you make your choices all day long from one place because it's a kind of programming you have. But what happens if you just flip it on its head?
You know what? Another thing, it's this. I'm so happy we did this topic because now it's like bringing me into the space of Paris. And it's fascinating how it's almost regressed us back to that time and looking at how that time a year and a half ago is so vitally occurring in life right now. But it's no different than when we first arrived in Paris, and we had all of our heavy suitcases, and we really just had no idea where our Airbnb was, and we couldn't get our phones to work. And so it was like trying to make something happen, and we were getting a little frustrated, a little tired, and a little hot, and all the things. And it was like, stop.
Yep.
Stop, stop, stop. We did this in Greece as well.
Yeah.
We don't know where we're going. We're getting hot.
Stop.
Get a glass of wine.
Or yeah.
like, you know, stop, get a coffee. Stop,
yeah.
just change. Do something different. Stop trying to
force it.
Force something and allow a new receptive mode to come through. So we were sitting at this little coffee shop, just like minding our own business. And this gentleman walked by. Now, when I say gentleman, I'm not speaking about what you're probably envisioning, which is like the handsome Parisian model guy of Kristen and I's dreams walking by. Like, we're talking like a guy that looks like, I mean, we love him, so I'm just going to say this as my first impression of this guy. Maybe a little homeless, you know, like a little leather face, has smoked all the cigarettes, has lived all the lives.
I thought he kind of looked like Ichabod Crane for some, you know, from The Legend of Sleepy Hollow?
Yes, yes.
He had a very character actor face.
Very character actor face, you know, but like very, you know, like all the things that like your parents would tell you growing up, like, don't talk to that stranger. You know what I mean? Like, that's the scary person that you want to avoid. So he walked by, and he kind of, like, looked at us and smiled,
mm-hmm.
and we kind of smiled trying to get our Wi-Fi. We're not really interested, obviously. And he walked back to us and said, can I help you? Now, what was interesting is while we were trying to get our Wi-Fi and our phones and everything working, we had a moment where we looked at each other and said, like, we really have to surrender
yeah.
to, like, a greater help
yeah.
because, like, there's no way out of this, so we just have to kind of just sit and allow for something to unfold because we just can't figure out the solution, so we're going to just, you know, stop going for one.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came back and said, you know, can I help you with something, the initial instinct based on our preferences would have been, no, thank you, we're fine. But the truth was, we had really just said to the universe, we need help, we can't do this alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone walked over and said, can I help you? Now, if this had been the package of the tall, handsome Parisian model guy saying, "Can I help you?" we would have said, "Oh, oui, monsieur." Now, but that, so if we were going to move away from our judgment mm-hmm. and what we think is our preference, it gave us the opportunity to say, yes, actually, we do need help. Now, it turned out that this guy was, like, we joke and affectionately call him the mayor of Montmartre because he knew everyone. He knew everything. He carried both of our huge, heavy suitcases. He took us
all
up this
the way
tram.
Up this hill.
He took it up the hill. He took it up the stairs at our Airbnb.
He showed us how to, like, stay away from the pickpockets.
Yeah, he even helped us because there was girls, like, trying to pickpocket us, and he, like, shooed them away and helped us. He then introduced us to all of these, like, locals along the way. He invited us to dinner with his friends. Like, it ended up being the most, like, charming, beautiful exchange that had we stayed in our judgment, had we, like, judged the book by its cover, we would have never had, and maybe would have never found our flat. Hard to say.
We might still be sitting at that cafe in Paris not knowing how to get to our Airbnb. Well, you know, there's so many beautiful, I think, life lessons in that. Like, starting from the first of when you're stuck, surrender, change your vibration. You know, I was thinking of, like, that's something that I've had to learn to do with, like, editing, even. Like, when I'm editing and I hit a place that, like, it starts to get hard and it starts to feel like, I want to throw my computer. It's like, that's actually the moment of, like, stop. You're going the wrong road. Go a different way. And I've played with that, too, when directing, of, like, if I feel like a scene it starts to grind and I can see the actors start to get in their heads, stop. Change the vibration. Go a different way. Right? So there's something about trusting the flow, you know, as you were saying, like, letting the flow take us one moment to the next. And if it feels like the flow has started to dry up, or we can feel ourselves, like, step out of the river, as Abraham Hicks will talk about,
yeah,
taking a moment to reconnect inside to what feels good, and then let, from that moment, something new will blossom. And we found the mayor of Montmartre. Notice that I don't say it as pretty as you do. Say it again.
Oh, I don't even know if I say it correctly.
I just like it. I like your French accent. Marmont. Marmont.
No, I can't even think about this.
I know.
And then it's gone.
But then, you know, as you were saying, like, the don't judge a book by its cover, or, like, let go of your preferences.
Yeah.
You know?
It's almost like the only thing that we truly want to judge is our own judgments.
Ooh, mic drop. It rolling.
Like, the feeling of, if I catch myself in judgment, then saying, oh, the only thing that deserves judgment now is the fact that I'm being a person who judges.
Yes.
Right? And not even that we want to judge ourselves for that. We actually want to love. Matt Kahn is this really cool teacher that you've just put me on to, who I've been watching some of his YouTube videos. And he talks about, may the one who judges be the next in line to receive love.
Oh!
So rather than trying to get mad at the judgment or make it wrong, like, that's just another judgment, right? Making your own judgment wrong is another judgment. So may, when I catch myself judging another, when I catch myself judging myself, when I catch myself judging a situation, can I just look at myself and say, oh, can I love the thing inside of me that thinks it has to judge? Because the only reason it's creating that is to create a separation. And I feel like for myself, whenever I'm trying to create a separation between myself and another person, it's really just because I'm scared.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't come from a place of actual hatred. It comes from a place of not understanding. It comes from a place of ignorance. It comes from a place of being afraid of what I don't know. And I think that so much of, you know, when we look at something like the civil rights movement, that's really what it was. There was so much people that were brought up in a world, a conditioning of separation, that even if that wasn't who they were or how they felt, they didn't understand how to be outside of that judgment. And sometimes it gets too painful to look at our own judgments, so we say, well, that must be the way life works, and I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Instead, can we offer to ourselves, as little beings that are growing and evolving and doing our absolute best, to say, I'm just going to love the place in me that feels like it has to judge something.
Yeah.
Because it's really just my ego that wants to feel important and like it knows what's going on. And when I can trust that I'm in harmony with life, and therefore all things in life are going to be in harmony with me, then there's no reason to judge anything.
There it is. It's really the fact that we don't trust that we're in harmony with life.
Yeah.
And so we think we have to manipulate or control or as if there's a fear that if we're not the ones like moving the controls around, it's not going to happen the way that we want it to or that we think it can, but we can actually get to move through life with this open hand of trusting from one moment to the other and trusting that we're already in harmony.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in harmony right now.
Yeah.
I don't need to do anything. I just need to be available in this moment. And then from this moment, see what meets me. I love playing with life with the power of intention, of here's my intention for my life, for my art, for my relationships. And now that I have this intention, I can actually just let go.
Yeah.
You know, I can let go and watch then how life meets me.
It's almost like that thing of like, we often feel the need to tell the universe what we want. But that's even separation and judgment. We are the universe and the universe is us, and the energy that is my spirit is the same energy that created this whole thing. I don't need, it's like redundant to tell the universe what I want. It knows what I want. That's why it made me. Because it wants it too.
It wants it too. And I love going from there of, and the universe loves me so much. It's so crazy in love with me. It can't wait to have my back.
Yeah.
It can't wait to delight me.
Yeah.
It can't wait to take care of me. So I feel like when we know that our desires are in harmony with the universe, we know the universe loves us and can't wait to surprise us, to delight us. We know that our preferences and judgments are deserve to be questioned, right? So that when something comes in, instead of like pushing it away, being curious about it, it starts to change the game of how we play with life, right? It takes, I think, away the anxiety.
Away the fear. I agree, because the anxiety is really, like you said, it's like us trying to control what can't or shouldn't be controlled, right? As opposed to knowing that as a co-creator with the universe, we have so much control in so many places because we are one with the one that's doing all the things.
Yes.
Right? Not because we have to be the one doing all the things.
That's right.
It's one of the definitions of Dharma. We talk about Dharma a lot, is that when you are in your Dharma, you are in harmony with the universal forces. And it's so fascinating that when I think about, if I'm in harmony with the universal forces, that's me living my Dharma, then all that means is I have to surrender all of my, what I think are judgments and preferences and opinions, and say, show me, show me, show me. And then I will be in complete harmony with what the universe wants of me. And as soon as I step into that mode, that receptive mode, that allowing mode, that excited mode of being curious about what I don't know, instead of trying to control and assert in the world what I do know, that's actually me being in my Dharma. So then I never have to worry about the universe bringing me a role or anything, because I'm already in the space of my Dharma. So the only thing that I can attract is all of the things that are part of everything that I want and everything I'm here for.
It's like when we tell people it's already here now. It's here now. It's here now. So when we let go of the thought that it's not here now, we can actually see where it is here now. It's like, right?
Yeah.
So it's the, even the thought of separation, that you're separate from your dream, is a thought that is, that not only deserves to be questioned, it's like, it's the biggest lie of all.
Yeah.
You know, Byron Katie will tell us, like, our suffering comes from our unquestioned thoughts.
Ooh.
Right? So that if we can like look at the thoughts that bring us suffering, we just get to then question the validity of them.
Wow.
Right? And maybe suspend like that they're not true.
Wow.
And I was listening to Beckwith in this interview the other day say, our Dharma gives us energy. He was talking to someone who was asking about living in balance, and he goes, you know, I get tired trying to do my purpose and my fitness and that and that. And Michael's like, oh, well, you know what your Dharma is because it gives you energy. You feel great doing it, and you have plenty of energy to do it. And I was like, I felt like it was a message for me. I stopped. And what's that? To go like, where do you get so much energy, so much prana, so much life force? That is being in the flow of life, right? That is the clue from life that now you are feeding that energy, that now you're feeding that place that creates more aliveness, or that is the aliveness that you are.
Wow. Well, that's so, like, you and I know this. There's so many times when, like, we're going to, like we're going to get together and, like, you know, do some work or something, right? Like, if you and I are doing, like admin work whatever, right? And we do it together to like try to make it more fun. But you can feel that we will slowly be losing life force energy as we're sending the emails, and then we'll be like, let's do a podcast instead. And all of a sudden,
it's like,
it's like shot of caffeine.
Well, isn't that the universe telling us what is ours to do and what isn't ours to do?
Mm.
Right. So anything that starts to like deplete us, maybe that's just like on our not ours list.
Yeah. Ooh, I love a not ours list. Mm-hmm. What's mine and what's not mine. Mm. And that our values and preferences don't tell us what should and shouldn't be on those lists. What tells us what should and shouldn't be on those lists is the feeling tone that it puts us in.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I was telling you, like, last night I got home after this flight, and I had this, like, instinct, this desire to, like, work on my directing reel. And what happened was just, like, watching the clips of things I've made and, like, the colors and the people and the dance numbers and all this stuff, it gave me so much energy. Mm. And all of a sudden it was 4:00 in the morning. Uh-huh. And I was like, Hengi, walk away. And not because I didn't have energy. I actually could have gone hours longer.
Yes.
But it was like, I was like being mindful of the clock and that I was going to meet you at 9:30 in the morning. But it was just really funny. And I had the thought, oh, this is the Beckwith energy thing. Mm. All right. Okay, so let me just start to notice more where I get those yummy, passionate feelings, where I can feel the flow of life energy coursing through me.
It's almost that same feeling of, like, adrenaline.
Yeah.
Right? It's like when you are, like, on set and it's, like, hour 13, but you're inspired and you're in it. Or recently you and I were doing a photo shoot, and I was so excited. It didn't matter that it was, like, raining and cold, and we had just taught, and, like, we had the longest day.
You had, you were so in your bliss that by the end of the day, you had the biggest blisters on your feet.
That's what I was going to say. Yes. Like, literally, I was so happy that we were doing a photo shoot together, and I felt like we looked so cute, and we were having the most fun, that at the end of the day we got in a cab and I was like, oh, my feet hurt. And literally I had like scraped off
your
like,
feet were
full
so
layers of skin off my foot.
They were
and
so
didn't
bloody
notice.
So bloody.
Because it's that feeling of we transcend our bodies.
Yeah.
We transcend we even think our own limits are when we stop making it about what we're capable of and start making it about what the universe's capacity for our prana, our energy, our life force could be.
Okay.
That's the calling.
Okay.
Gosh. So, everyone needs to go to Paris.
I know. Or whatever your version of Paris is, whatever gives you energy and wherever you get to watch that flow.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of, you have certain people you just feel great around.
Yes.
And you're like, you can't wait to see them because you know.
Yes, you.
But that's like the indicator of where life is saying, go here, do this.
Mm.
And so I feel like that can just be like a wonderful, you and I often talk about following the charm.
Mm.
Another way of saying with it is like following the flow. Go with the flow. We're not the first ones to say that, you know?
But sometimes the flow is going to look like a scary
Ichabod Crane
guy. And you have to just say in that moment, is this my feeling tone saying to me, you know, this isn't a safe, healthy place for you to be, and like everything in my body is contracting because that's not the right place for me? Or is it just my judgment? Is it just what I've been conditioned to think? But really, there's a feeling tone of possibility and excitement and interest and curiosity. And how can we get so trained to follow our inner compass more than the world's outer compass for our life?
There it is. Following the inner compass. That's all I want to do. I want to free myself to the place where I so trust that inner compass over and above the world's outer compass.
Mm.
I feel like that that's what I'm the most interested and curious about right now in my own self.
Yeah.
Can I be brave enough to?
Yeah.
And can I question my programming enough to? Because I the reason I get so interested in it, because I know not only that's where bliss is, but that's where my dharma is.
Mm.
And so it becomes this, you know, we've all had times where we've gone and like hung out with our sweet parents, you know, and you get a chance to see where the conditioning comes in.
Mm.
And to question that and go, oh, I know where that like was in me. And then I spent time, I questioned it and I undid it. And now I see it and I see how it got programmed in me. Mm. Right. And we have that kind of sense of distance. But that there, we know that there's layers upon layers upon layers of that. And we all know what it feels like, the freedom it feels like when you're living from your most authentic self.
Mm.
So this question of like curiosity of like, where is my most truthful inner self? Where is that place inside of me? And it isn't somewhere we have to search for. It is somewhere we get to be attentive to moment by moment as we trust the natural flow of life.
Mm. And it's one of those things where, and this is why a really good prana building friend is great. I was just talking with Kristen this morning about like the feeling of when the conditioning starts to fall away, and it almost feels like a little bit of an identity crisis, because you actually, so much of yourself and your personality has been built on conditioning, that then when that all falls away, there can actually be some fear and some uncertainty and some like, I don't actually know who I am. And in sharing that with Kristen, her reflection back is like, how exciting. How exciting that there's like a blank canvas that you get to paint on and understand and see and get curious about, right? And I do think that that's sometimes dropping the judgments, dropping the values, dropping who we think we are can feel like a scary dark night of the soul place. But it's also the opportunity to see that as the first day of your life. And how exciting, in the same way we said how a baby says a word for the first time and how that feels in its mouth and what it thinks about that color, just organically, how exciting that we get the opportunity to have that rebirth at whatever age we're at wherever we're at in our story.
I was telling you about my aunt who at 80 years old has returned to painting.
Yeah.
She studied art in college and even became an art teacher, but like never did it. And then at 80 years old is having this like genesis of resurgence where she just can't stop painting. Like she just loves painting so much and it inspires her and it makes her feel good and her paintings are beautiful. And I went and visited her when I was in Los Angeles. I looked at all her paintings and I could just think of create.
Mm.
And I was just thinking, our dharma is after us and it will never stop.
Yeah.
It's never going to let go.
Yeah.
It's never going to like give up. My dad, who's like 75, told me about this great idea he had for a story. You know, like that instinct that our dharma wants to express itself on the planet will never let go. So let's take today as the very first day of our life and say, show me.
Show me. Yeah.
I'm ready to express.
It's the Parisian way.
It's the Parisian way.
You taste a little bit of everything, and then you see what charms you, and you order more.
And more and more and more.
And more and more. So as you go out in the world today, enjoy the questioning of your preferences, because it can lead you into the most beautiful you that you have not known yet. And so, you know, the character that you're the most interested in is actually the one inside of you that you haven't tapped into yet. And how exciting, as Kristen would say.
Ooh, happy Parisian day.
I love a Parisian coffee date.
We love you. We are so grateful to get to be on the path of creation with you as you work on your most beautiful masterpiece, yourself.
And if you felt like it was part of your dharma to listen to this podcast and you feel it's part of your dharma to share it, please do. And you can find us at the Create Facebook page, the Create Community, and on Twitter and Instagram at the Create Playgroup. And we also teach right here in New York, and you can come see us.
That's what we want. We want to come play with you.
Bye.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!